Looking out the window, a mother said to her 3-year-old son, "It's raining cats and dogs out there." The 3-year-old responded, "Wow, we're going to have to build a huge pen to hold them all." Something was missed in the understanding, wasn't it? It's raining cats and dogs out there. Wow, we're going to have to build a huge pen to hold them all. The mother was talking metaphorically, wasn't she? She was using a very exaggerated speech to get the point across that it's raining very, very heavily. The 3-year-old just didn't quite understand that type of speech. Well, something similar is happening in our gospel today. Jesus says words that seem almost impossible to accept if you take them on a literal level. Large crowds are following him. And that's a lesson for us already, by the way. He's not just speaking to his 12 apostles. He's speaking to all the crowds, which means he's certainly speaking to you and me. Large crowds are following him, and he turns to them and says, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Talk about a line that can drive people away. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What happened with Jesus saying that the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself? What happened with Jesus telling his followers that everybody would recognize them by the way they loved one another? What happened to the fourth commandment? Honor your father and your mother. Has Jesus suddenly contradicted all of these other statements he made, and even one of the Ten Commandments, by saying, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple"? We have to understand that Jesus is using a very particular type of speech that was common to his culture. It's a very exaggerated speech, which we would call hyperbole. People around Jesus realized that he was saying in a very, very, very strong way that if anybody wants to follow him, they have to prefer him, that is, put him first, even before those closest relationships in their own family. That's what Jesus is saying. That's the only way to understand what he means, given that he has told us elsewhere to love. But please don't let my explanation reduce the sense of challenge in your own personal life. Although Jesus is not saying that we should literally hate those in our own family in order to follow him, he definitely is saying that we are supposed to put him first, even before members of our own family. How does that sit with you? How does it sit with your family? If this is not a call to radical discipleship, straight from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself, then I don't know what is. Radical discipleship, though, is actually full Catholicism. That's what Jesus is calling us to. Imagine your life as a circle that you draw on the computer screen. That circle represents everything in your life, and the closer you get to the center of the circle, the more important things are in your life. And within that circle is everything of your life. You are asked to draw on that screen a throne with a cross on it that represents Jesus Christ. Imagine just a stick figure throne and a stick cross on the seat of the throne. If you're being honest, where would you draw the throne and cross to represent your own life and Jesus' place in it? Would you place the throne outside of the circle, admitting that Jesus actually does not make much of a difference for you, so that he doesn't even make it inside of the circle of things most important? Or would you draw Jesus' throne on the inside of the circle, yet somewhere near the perimeter, symbolizing that he's important, yet he's still actually just one among many other important things and relationships in your life? Or would you draw the throne of Jesus directly in the middle of that circle of your life, symbolizing that he is actually the most important one, and you try to order everything else in life accordingly. It's obvious where Jesus wants us to draw that throne. Parents, are you teaching your children by word and example to serve Jesus Christ first at the center of their life? Young people, are you waking up each day and dedicating the day to Jesus Christ, asking Him to use you however He wants, and to guide your work and your leisure and your relationships so that your efforts that day give Him the greatest glory? Jesus really does not give us the option of treating Him as a mere acquaintance to whom we can pay attention only once in a while. If the desire to serve Him as the Lord of our life is not in us, then we have a Holy Spirit problem. It's the Holy Spirit who shows us how good it is to live for Jesus and how right. If there's no desire in us to put Jesus first, then we're not seeing how good He is. If we understand the goodness of Jesus Christ, if we understand His wisdom, His power, His love, if we understand that He's the one who frees us from sin, forgives our sin, He's the one who opens the way to heaven. If we understand all of this, then we would realize that putting Him absolutely at the center of life as Lord can only mean there will be the greatest love motivating us. You can see how that takes nothing away from family life, but in fact only builds family life. Imagine everybody in a family household being in tune with Jesus Christ and trying to love Him to the utmost and love those around them for Jesus. How can anybody not want that? Furthermore, we will have at the center of our life the very person who opens heaven to us. Here is a secret for living life with Jesus Christ enthroned at the center. Consecrate your life to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Say a daily rosary, meditating on the life of Jesus Christ. Because the feast days of the Blessed Virgin seldom occur on Sundays, I'm afraid I do not speak enough about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Yet I am convinced that she is the surest way to conform ourselves to Jesus Christ. How I long for the day that every single soul in this parish would make a willful consecration to the Blessed Virgin in order to serve her Son, Jesus Christ, more fully. What a difference that would make in each person's life. Here are a few quotes from St. Louis de Montfort. St. Louis de Montfort was born in the last quarter of the 17th century. He traveled around France preaching. Pope John Paul II said that he learned from Louis de Montfort what true devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary was. Louis de Montfort preached about living for Mary as the best way to live for Jesus. Here are three quotes from him. It is through the most blessed Virgin Mary that Jesus Christ came into the world, and it is also through her that He will reign in the world. Second, our entire perfection consists in being conformed, united, and consecrated to Jesus Christ. Hence, the most perfect of all devotions is undoubtedly that which conforms, unites, and consecrates us most perfectly to Jesus Christ. Now, since Mary is of all creatures the one most conformed to Jesus Christ, it follows that among all devotions, that which most consecrates and conforms our soul to the Lord is devotion to Mary, His Holy Mother, and that the more a soul is consecrated to her, the more will it be consecrated to Jesus Christ. 3. It would hardly be possible for me to put into words how much Our Lady thinks of the Holy Rosary and how she vastly prefers it to all other devotions. The Rosary is the most powerful instrument to touch the heart of Jesus, our Redeemer, who loves His Mother. All of that was St. Louis de Montfort. Summary challenges for us. Have we decided to live for Jesus as Lord of our life? Have we thought of coming to church once during the week to spend an hour or so with Jesus here in the Blessed Sacrament. As a way of telling him how important he is in our life. Or if you can't spend an hour, if you're passing the church, just stop in for 5 or 10 minutes. Have we consecrated our life to the Blessed Virgin Mary? Are we praying the Rosary? As we encounter our Lord Jesus Christ here in the Eucharist again today, let us commit ourselves to his service still more fully. And let's ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to help us in this amazing encounter.